The South Shore's Morning News rolls on. I'm Rob Hakla. Beth Foster is off for jury duty. Time down for our Paws and Claws segment. We do it every week at this time, sponsored by our good friends at The Clean Team. Even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call The Clean Team to take care of all of those catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. TheCleanTeam.net. TheCleanTeam.net. Sponsoring our Paws and Claws segment. And on the second Tuesday of every month, we check in with the great team at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists. And Dr. Kira Berg is with us as we get our segment started for 2025. Dr. Berg, good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and great to have you and the team from Cape Cod back for another year with us on Paws and Claws. Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists, and specifically Zoological and Exotics Medicine. And we do this on the second Tuesday of the month. And as we mentioned, we're going to start the year off with Dr. Berg, who is going to fill us in about when to take your exotic mammals to the ER. When is it time? All right, so Dr. Berg, I guess, first of all, what are exotic mammals?
That is the most important question. So exotic mammals are basically everything that's not a cat, a dog, a horse, a cow, or your small ruminants like sheep and goats. Sometimes, you know, we can have true pigs, like pot-bellied pigs included in that. Here at this hospital, unfortunately, we do not see pot-bellied pigs or mini pigs or pigs of any kind other than guinea pigs. So typically what I'm going to be talking about is going to be your mammals like ferrets, rabbits, rodents, which include guinea pigs, chinchillas, rats, mice, hamsters, gerbils, your dagoes, and then we also have hedgehogs and sugar gliders. There are some other mammals that are less common that include kinkajous, skunks, and raccoons. Like typically, those are going to be, you know, very state-specific in terms of where they're legal. And right now, those are a little bit harder to manage in Massachusetts.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I imagine. you can't have a skunk, right?
So depending on the state, no, you cannot have a skunk. There are some states that will allow bred, especially bred skunks. And Massachusetts, I will acknowledge that I do have to look that up. It's readily available online, whether or not you can do it with a license, but I typically don't recommend it because of the risk of rabies.
Yeah. Well, so for the most part, ferrets, rabbits, we've talked certainly about guinea pigs. Hedgehogs, I've certainly heard about hedgehogs, but I've never known someone or met one, but I imagine there are people that have hedgehogs.
Yes, they are legal in the state of Massachusetts, and they can actually make really great pets. So we've had a number of hedgehogs here, and their lifespan is a little bit shorter, but they can make really wonderful pets. They do need specialized care because of where they're from, but I don't want to digress too much into hedgehogs.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. So the question this week on the topic was about when to take exotic mammals to the ER. Yes. So what are some of the things that we would be looking at or we should be looking at?
Yeah. And I will preface it with, obviously, you know, I mentioned carnivores like ferrets, herbivores like rabbits and guinea pigs, omnivores like rats, insectivores like hedgehogs, and then sugar gliders, which are their own kind of really cool but very, very interesting feeding strategy. So not everything is going to apply across the board other than things like not eating, right? So if ferrets and our other mammals aren't eating within an 8 to 12 hour period, that can be an emergency and does warrant at the very least a phone call. But don't be surprised if the recommendation is to have them come in for evaluation. If there's any kind of bleeding, our animals are a lot smaller. So any kind of bleeding could be, again, depending on the size of the animal, but could be life-threatening. So any bleeding, any decrease in appetite, diarrhea, our animals, and especially our small mammals, can become dehydrated very, very quickly. So diarrhea is considered an emergency evaluation. And then any kind of vomiting. So ferrets, hedgehogs and sugar gliders can vomit. Our other animals cannot. So if any of our mammals are vomiting, they need to be evaluated.
All right,
and then anything in respiratory distress. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, no, I was going to say, okay, so vomiting, and then you were saying respiratory distress?
Yeah, so any kind of open mouth breathing or increased effort when they're breathing is definitely an emergency. So that one, just immediately take your exotic small mammal to the vet.
Okay, and for the vomiting issue, you know, you're saying that definitely warrants an ER visit? Or, I mean, could I think that maybe it's just something they ate and they'll get better?
Yeah, so unfortunately, again, with how small our animals are, they're very prone to dehydration. So just because I'm saying go to the vet, that doesn't mean I'm saying hospitalization. So at the very least, we could give some fluids, we could give anti-nausea medications, we could take some x-rays to rule out an obstruction. But sometimes ferrets only vomit once and they have a foreign body obstruction. And sometimes that has to go to surgery. So sometimes it really can be just a single vomit in a ferret that we're going to be worried about.
Wow.
So it is a little bit different from cats and dogs in that respect. You know, I mean, I mean, as my cat will vomit if I, you know, don't feed her within a certain amount of time. And I know that she doesn't have to go to the vet for that. But if I had a ferret and he vomited, I would take him to the vet. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah, that's important to think about, especially since maybe many of us, you know, have had cats and dogs and, you know, specifically cats, you know, whether they're hacking up a hairball or sometimes I remember, you know, we had a cat that just ate too much and then it would regurgitate, I guess, its food. So but for the most part, I mean, she lived, you know, almost, you know, 20, 30 years. So, you know, that was great. She just turned into an old cat. But so you're saying, and this is good to know because sometimes we may have had one kind of animal and then we have another and we can't and even for ourselves, we think, oh, you know, vomiting, you think, okay, the vomiting happens. And then you think, okay, that must mean it's going to get better. And in this case, there may be an obstruction because of the size and the type of animal that they are. Right?
Correct. And it may, that's right. And it may be that a ferret vomits once because it ate something it shouldn't have, but it was able to pass it and it just needs some fluids. But until we know that, I would always recommend even just one vomit. At least let's get some fluids. Let's get some anti-nausea medications. Let's try to make sure that we're doing what we can to make sure that, you know, all of our pets are as safe and healthy as possible.
Yeah, that's important. When you talk about obstructions, do you find in your vocation, in your job, do you see other things that maybe we should be careful about with some of these smaller animals that you find they're ending up ingesting more?
Yeah, so, and that's a great question. So for the ferrets, typically it's going to be younger ferrets, and they really like to eat fiber or foam from their toys, or sometimes they'll eat kids' toys, and because they're so small, like a Lego could obstruct them, right? So these guys, it tends to be when they're younger, a little bit naughtier, but again, they could technically do it at any point in time. Rabbits tend to obstruct from over grooming their bond mates, so that typically tends to be fur. And then there are some animals that can ingest hair. So if they're grooming their humans, if their owners have longer hair, and so that can lead to obstruction. So it's not as common as cats and dogs to have obstruction in our mammals, our exotic mammals. Typically, we're going to be looking more for like medical management reasons of anorexia. And again, that for them, because our mammals are so small and they have very specific feeding strategies that require constant eating, really, it can be very, very detrimental. So, you know, a dog not eating for 1 or 2 days, we worry, but it's not, you know, maybe we wait until the second day, right, to bring them to the emergency. But really, for our small mammals, we can't wait that long.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other important information we wanted to get out this month, Dr. Berg?
Yes. The last thing I wanted to say was that, fortunately, Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist is now open 24/7 for our exotic mammals, which is great. We are only seeing reptiles and birds through an appointment basis through my team Tuesday through Friday. But any mammal like we just talked about can walk in at any point in time and be hospitalized, treated, outpatient. So we have all of that set up for our exotic mammals now.
Oh, that's some great news. Okay, thank you for sharing that. Cape Cod VetSpecialist.com, CapeCodVetSpecialist.com. You can find the link there to more information about zoological and exotics medicine and Dr. Kira Berg and the rest of the great team there. And we'll have a link up on our show page for Paws and Claws. If you go to the Tuesday show on my morning news page, you'll get the link there. And Dr. Kira Berg and the great team at Cape Cod Vet Specialist joins us on the second Tuesday of every month. Dr. Kira Berg, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And that's our Paws and Claws segment on WATD, sponsored by The Clean Team.